Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
If you change your mind,
take a chance,
on the first in line,
take a chance,
honey, I'm still free,
take a chance
on me. If you need me, let me know, gonna be around. If you got no place to go when you're feeling down, if you're all alone.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome into the room. Of course, happy Saturday to all of you. Hello, East Coast. Hello, also Live City Radio. I know we've had a few problems the last couple of weeks, but we're back. That's right, and we're all together again, and this is your Weekly Dose Podcast.
Orange County, California. If you're new to Your Weekly Dose, this program is about having fun. We recap our past week experiences and enlighten your day through laughter.
That's right, because laughing at all the things we experience in everyday life. The embarrassments, the silly things, the awkward things, even the things that we're afraid to talk about, but we still do.
You know, the things that connect us all, the things that make us human. And as they say, laughter is the best medicine.
And to all of our listeners, old and new, we always love it when you guys are part of the show. Then join the conversation. You can do that several ways. Comment on each of our episodes on our website, yourweeklydose.com.
Send us a message via Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1.
Say hello to us on Facebook at yourweeklydose.
Or if you want to send us a personal message, you can email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
And today we've got a packed show for you guys today. We'll be catching up with each other. We got some jelly bean facts. We'll be talking to our dear friend Mighty John Marshall for National Record Day. Of course, we got sports with Hoss Davis later on. We got Shakespearean texting, pocket-sized cinema, and some What's News later on as well.
You can always download past shows for free from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you are on the go, you can subscribe through iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose, and most importantly, tell the world what you think of us. So please rate and review the show.
Absolutely. And of course, today's theme is Take a Chance by the great ABBA, or ABBA, for National Take a Chance Day. I love that song.
It's a good one.
It's a good song.
It is a nice song.
I like this song better than Fernando. I could not stand Fernando. I don't know why, but I do like this one an awful lot. So, and as always, guys, remember that any of the songs that we play on our show, you can always go to our sponsor, which is Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner and bookmark it, and shop to your heart's delight, whether it's music, drum parts, toilet paper, underwear, whatever it is that you need, because they're always up for you. And we like it, and every time you shop, they give us a little bit of cashy, and we appreciate that as well. So there you go. What's your favorite ABBA song, Mia?
I don't know. My junior year of high school, I didn't have my license, so my mom would always drive me to school, and we'd always listen to all these different ABBA songs for, like, a solid 6 months, just, like, all ABBA.
So what's your favorite?
But I don't know. I would never look at the screen.
You never look at the screen?
Really? I would never look at the screen to see what the song is. I'm really bad at that.
Did you go see Mamma Mia?
No. There was this really cute, like, British boy a cappella group that visited my school, and they did a ton of ABBA songs, and so then from there came the obsession of ABBA, because
and I love it that she has an obsession with ABBA but can't name her
okay,
favorite ABBA
what?
Song
that was 4 years ago.
Which tells you the obsession is not on
okay.
ABBA.
Yeah, exactly.
She's
moved on from ABBA.
It was definitely the obsession
now,
of the
now
British
it's, now
boys.
It's BABBA, you know,
yeah,
ABBA, it's BABBA.
Yeah, British boy obsession is more
yeah,
like it.
Exactly.
That was what it was.
Like, ooh, boys, British boys, oh, accents,
I know.
Oh, nice.
I know,
okay.
When I was still going to men. That was the funny part.
All right. Well, should we catch up with each other? Well, since we haven't seen this man in about 2 weeks and he's in the room with us as always, Mr. Os Davis, how was your week, sir?
Os.
First, I'd like to weigh in and say my favorite ABBA song is Mamma Mia, but only as performed in the 1990 classic Australian film, The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
That is extremely
specific.
Because I am.
That is very precise.
Really an ABBA hater. I gotta say.
Uh-oh. Vibe sometimes.
Well, it's a good thing you're sitting in that corner, and over here we have Nia on this corner, so you're okay then.
That's right, I can see you all.
Yeah.
Okay week. I brought my CFL podcast out of hibernation. We hadn't done anything since the Grey Cup in, like, late November, early December this year. But Canadian football is getting geared up. And we were lucky enough to score he's a Canadian Hall of Fame quarterback, Ricky Ray, for our second episode coming back. So that was a big deal. I know most people here don't get the reference. But to all the Canadians out there, hey, represent.
Absolutely.
That's the Rouge, White, and Blue CFL podcast. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, well, you know, everybody in Lime City Radio, whatever, they're a little bit closer to Canada. So all those listeners there, they're going to get it.
Well,
I
mean,
you
can watch all CFL games on ESPN Plus. Sometimes, like the openers and the Grey Cup and the playoffs and whatnot, they show on ESPN, ESPN 2. Mm-hmm. And it's really an interesting brand of football. Really. Not a totally different game, but different enough so that it's really original looking. Not like the USFL. And I dare say the CFL is well
quality. I dare you.
Quality,
say it. Dare it. I dare you.
Well more quality players than these fly-by-night leagues that are coming up this summer. So.
Well, we'll see what happens, yeah.
Exactly. So it was good to bring back that podcast. I'm also working on my other podcasts. And for this, I got a confession to make. Maybe you guys can help me out.
Okay.
We got some rock and roll people here. Okay, so I'm
don't forget, she's not into ABBA anymore. She's an expert. She's an expert, but doesn't know any of the favorite songs.
Never said it was an expert.
I'm not sure ABBA is rock and roll. But anyway, so for this podcast, you know, one of the nice things about it is if you're doing music from before 1922, that's public domain.
Right.
So we can actually use the music to set the mood, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the music of this time really is untranslatable. It's really hard to get into. And so a lot of times what I do is just for fun is I'll remix it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just take the old song, I'll remix it, I'll throw a contemporary beat behind it, whatever. Okay. So there's a big hit in 1919 called After You've Gone. After You've Gone. And so I figured what would be neat is I'm going to sample in similar songs like The Cars, Since You've Gone.
Since You've Been Gone, yeah.
Kelly Clarkson, Since You've Been Gone.
Uh-huh.
And then I went to that band from the 80s.
Weird Al?
The Outfield.
Oh, okay.
No, The Outfield.
Oh, okay. Because Weird Al's got a song called Since You've Been Gone.
Yeah. Oh, yes. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh.
See?
I wish I had known that. I finished my mix, though. The mix is done, so I can't do it. Right, this bloody song.
Bloody.
I listened to this song, and then I said, wow, that's really bad.
And
I listened to it again, and I said, that's incredibly bad. And I listened to it again, and I'm just like, how can something be this
So are you saying
listenable?
Are you saying this is your guilty pleasure?
This is how they got viewers. They were like, this is so bad. I have to listen to it five times.
There's just a couple of good things in the song that laid up against this pastiche of the drum machine and the endless cliches makes you want to hear it again. You know, it's just one or two hooks, you know, one or two lyrics, you know, it's crazy. How can anything be this bad and this good at the same time?
Okay, I'm gonna up you on this.
Go for it.
Okay, Casey.
Yes.
Would you please pull up?
Oh yes.
Oh no.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Uh-oh. ABBA.
No. We built this city.
Oh.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, the moans are already started here in the room. I can tell already. The thing is that this song was voted the worst song in history.
I saw that one. I saw that one.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But yet it's been used so many times in movies.
Yep.
And I don't get it.
It's one of the, it's just so easy.
You know. Okay. Crank it.
Crank it.
See, look at it.
Look at them head nodding.
Yeah. The two brothers get it. I love it. They go, this is so white, but they get it. Say you don't know me. I recognize my face. I still don't understand why people have voted this song to be the worst song in history.
I feel like it could go way worse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Way worse.
That's like top
like
20.
Anything from Soulja Boy.
Soulja Boy.
Just some nods in the room.
Thumbs up from the dog pound. I like it. There you go. All right.
Well, Vanilla Ice doesn't count, does it?
Oh, yeah, it does.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Number one, Ice Ice Baby.
Yeah.
Worst song ever.
Yeah. And, of course, I loved it when he tried to go, oh, no, no. My song goes, doom, doom,
yeah,
doom.
Yeah, it has the extra beat.
Do-do-do-do-dum.
Right, like, it has the extra beat.
Oh, shut the hell up, white boy.
It's original.
Yeah. It's like, please.
Yeah.
Please. Okay, but see, here's the thing, though. When you use Starship in a Muppet movie, you know it's good. Because, oh. I mean, come on.
I thought you were going to say it's a song for Muppets.
No, because they use all the cool stuff for whatever, you know. They do.
Muppets set the chronometer. Okay.
They do.
Right, right, yeah.
Because,
right.
You know, you have to have certain songs, you know, that Muppets have to work to.
Fair
enough.
You know,
in their montage of things or whatever. Yeah. They actually use the song in their montage of working and trying to rebuild the theater,
right,
and everything.
Right, right.
You know,
right,
it's like, and this film, I mean, this song has been used in so many freaking films.
Yeah.
And yet it's been voted like the worst, you know, like right next to Kokomo from the Beach Boys.
Beach Boys, wow.
We don't like that song?
Groans from the audience.
I love it.
Oh, okay.
You're like, we?
I love it, but a lot of people don't like it, you know, for whatever reason.
Huh.
I dig it, you know.
Dig it.
I mean, come on. The video's got, it has even John Stamos in it.
Yo.
Come on, Full House. Come on, who doesn't love Uncle Jesse?
Right? Yeah. Oh well.
It's cool. It's 80s, classic 80s. I'm an 80s baby, so I like it.
Yeah.
Because I'm from the 80s.
Me too.
That's the only reason I like it. It's cool, but yeah, I'm just an 80s baby.
Well, how about Uncle Jesse from Dukes of Hazzard then?
I don't know. I prefer Cousin Daisy, though.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Daisy Duke, yep.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I have a mullet. I'm kind of from the 80s.
No, yeah. Notice yeah. She didn't say that proudly, though, but she goes, I got a mullet.
I'm like, no, because I know. I'm like, they're going to say something after this. Like,
we wouldn't say anything about your mullet.
No, but seriously, like,
seriously, we wouldn't say anything.
We wouldn't say anything serious about the mullet, is really what he means.
No, the mullet's amazing. I love my mullet. It's my favorite haircut so far. Thank you. High five from the crowd.
But like, I must say, though,
it's not like real mullet, though.
Well, fair.
It's like a mock mullet.
Yeah.
It's mullet-esque.
yeah, just reminiscent of mullet.
But I must say, though, and I told you this the other day.
Uh-oh.
I saw your pictures on Instagram, a little bit older pictures.
Hair.
With the longer hair. Whoa. You look so pretty with the longer hair.
I always, like, I think I look 16 whenever I have long hair.
I think you do. I think you look older.
Really?
Yeah. You look more mature with it.
I just, long hair for me, I hate long, like, I just... Long hair, no. The only reason why I had long hair over the summer was because I was traveling a lot and I didn't want to have a haircut because I was low on money. So I just let my hair.
I know that feeling. So.
I didn't get a haircut for like 6 months. See, and my friends tease me because we were playing this game. What's it called? Most likely to.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the questions was most likely to shave their head. And all of them pointed to me. And I'm like, what? They're like, I've seen your hair the past 6 months. It just keeps getting shorter and shorter. And they're like, and one day you're going to have a mental breakdown. And it's just all going to go. I'm like, no.
And then we'll just call you Brittany. So, yeah.
Okay, Sinead.
Yeah. Or Sinead. Yeah, either one. Yeah. And Casey, how was your week?
It's getting busy.
Again?
Yeah. So I decided that I needed to pull back a little bit from working in Santa Monica because the traffic is getting bad. Really bad. It's like now
more
I
people
can't.
Are getting out.
Yeah, I can't get down there in anything less than like an hour and 45 minutes anymore. Oh. It used to be like on a clear day, it would take me like an hour and 20, hour and 30 minutes. Yeah. And now on a bad day, it's like 3 hours.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I was like, I just can't.
That means you can listen to like two of our episodes.
Can't do this anymore. I listen to lots of episodes of lots of everything. Yeah. So I pulled back a couple days. I started helping out at the gear store on the Drop Zone. Mm-hmm. So I've been kind of just wheeling and dealing and skydiving stuff a little bit more, dabbling in that this week. Mm-hmm. So that's been kind of nice because it's close by and Mateo works at the same place so we can go there. And the other day I got off work and it was just like, I'm home already. It's
amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, I walked outside. I was like, well, I'm in the same town. Like,
yeah, that's kind of cool.
I know. Like, when you're in this industry, like, L.A. is, yeah, I've had to.
Far.
Yeah. No, it's like, for me, when I had my PA job up in L.A., people would always be like, oh, my God, you're driving so far. I'm like, it's an hour. Like, sometimes, too. Like, for me, it's like, I've driven very, very long drives. And so, for me, I'm like, an hour. I don't, like, it's...
It's nothing in L.A. anymore.
Yeah, but, like, for me, it's, like, it's when I have work in the morning, and then I gotta go to the other job in L.A., and then I'm working, like, 17 to 24 hours in a row. That's when it's, like, whoa.
Like, for me, my last job, was in Gardena. I was working for Trident, Audio, making their mixers and everything. And the thing was that Gardena, basically, like on a Saturday morning or, on an off day, it's 20 minutes to get there.
Yeah.
Literally takes 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But morning traffic or, night traffic or whatever, when you get off from work on a 405, it's an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an hour no matter what. Whether I take side streets or whether I take the freeway, it's an hour no matter what. But I remember, my first holiday working there where... everybody was home, and I literally got there within 20 minutes. And I'm like, wait, why can't it be like this all the time?
Yeah, yeah. 20-minute drive for me is nothing because all my jobs are pretty much 20 minutes. Like here, 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Other one, like not really a job, but pretty much, yeah.
This is most, fun.
Yeah, it's for fun.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, pretty much everything's like 20 minutes.
Cool. How was your week, Lonia?
It was good, yeah. I'll address this like right now, but so from the past few months, I've been going as Caitlin on air, but in August, before I was even on the show, I changed my name to Nia, and I was going by Caitlin because that was my birth name. That's what I started as in the acting industry. So, but then I decided that my stage name is Nia Caitlin Ketstever, and so from now on, I'm going to be going as Nia on the show, in the industry, etc. But I still want the Caitlin Ketstever so people still know that, like, it's me and they're not, confused on all of that. But, yeah, it was a good week. So last Saturday, Sean, Steve, and I went out.
So sad I missed this.
I know. What the heck? Like,
you were at the wedding.
Yeah.
I know.
The one weekend.
I love it because she sends us a picture of the wedding, the couple getting married.
Yeah.
But she's like in nosebleed seats. I'm like, I thought these were close personal friends. They weren't even close. They were way back up in the back row.
Yeah, for real.
Whatever. I'm like, what the hell?
Nosebleed. Yeah, really.
I know. Nosebleed seats, man.
It was all about the RSVP. You didn't invite me first.
Oh, all right. Anyway, we catch up. We meet up because it was your idea.
Yeah, so we met up. We went to dinner. Our server was a pretty lady. She was a cutie. But then afterwards, we went to this bar we were drinking. We tried a few different drinks or whatever. There were some really pretty girls there too.
There was a blonde.
I know. And then Sean and I, really had a conversation about both of our types and girls. Sometimes we have the same type, but there were definitely somewhere he was like that one. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, and she goes, oh, and then she would look at me and go, hey, what about that one? I go, I don't know.
Yeah, so, but you know, it's good we have different types.
Yeah, yeah. I would say about 70%, though, we're matching, though.
Yeah, which is funny.
And then, and yeah, and there was quite a few, you know, very attractive gals
there.
Oh,
yeah, no.
Quite a few.
Yeah, and there...
And Steve was just out in La La Land because he had an edible as soon as we got off the car.
He was.
I had an edible, but I was very coherent.
Oh, my gosh. And when we, like, lost you and it took, like, 10 minutes to find you in the parking lot when we were...
I could not understand that because I'm
that
one...
That parking lot is confusing.
I'm one level below you. All you had to do was take the freaking escalator.
But the escalator was broken and you were like,
no,
let's go on it.
It wasn't broken. Yes, they just stopped it. That's all they did. They do that sometimes.
Okay, well.
Yeah, I've seen them do it sometimes where it's like, okay, you can still use it.
Where it's like a traffic light where you're like, sometimes it blinks. That just means it's a stop sign now.
No, because the thing is, they thought it was broken down because there was a partition thing that said do not enter. The thing is, it was 12 feet away. So it wasn't really blocking the entrance. And people were going down that escalator. The one going up was working, but the one going down had stopped. So they wanted people to just use it as stairs, basically, because there was no stairs there.
I think Sean was hitting Steve's edibles.
There are no stairs there?
Right.
Where were you?
Triangle Square.
Triangles, yeah.
There's no stairs?
There are. That's where Steve and I went. We went to go to the stairs.
12 miles away.
No, it wasn't 12.
So it's not that there weren't stairs.
Oh,
they just weren't
gosh. Conveniently
placed for you.
Right, because the thing is, the stairs are like maybe like 50 yards away or so. Where the levels were at, it's all escalators, nothing but. The stairs are in a completely different location.
Like three steps.
All they had to do was walk down and follow me. One level. It took them 20 minutes to find me.
That's an exaggeration.
I did actually, I don't know about that. I was part of this text message.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah, probably. There were photos being sent of locations in parking.
Where are you? And instead of responding to me, they take a picture of something. I don't know where that's at.
Find this symbol.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, great, I have to go on a scavenger hunt now.
Maybe they didn't know where they were.
Oh, no, they didn't.
We did not. Yeah, but anyway. So
I've got the blind leading the blind.
You shouldn't have left them alone. This is why you shouldn't have taken that
scared.
Broken escalator.
They were scared to follow me. I'm like, just walk down. It's nothing.
We're like, no. To be fair, Steve was following me. So, and you know how directionally challenged I am.
Like I said, the blind leading the blind.
Yeah, but anyway, so later on in the night, I was like sitting down at this table with Steve and Sean, and this group of people come in. There was like four or five girls and one dude. And there was some music, and we were all vibing, and I was just, you know, like, dancing in my chair and vibing. And then this one girl and I, like, made eye contact, and we were, like, dancing together and vibing from, like, you know, 5 feet away or something. Like, we were just, like, eye contacting that. And then she, like, turned back to her groups and, like, damn, I wasn't invited in the group. And then she, like, a few minutes later, like, we make eye contact again. She, like, reaches out her hand to, like, grab my hand and, like, come, and she, like, gets me into the group, and I'm, like, adopted now, and then we're all dancing, and...
and leave Steve and I alone, by
the way. Okay, no, you said
because,
I could go.
Because, you know, we're sitting there.
You said I could go? Like, what, like,
you know,
permission?
She invited us, you know, and she goes, well, let's go to the bar afterwards. Okay, fine. We go to the bar, we're having, you know, and I'm trying to have a conversation and everything.
Yeah,
whatever,
we were talking.
And this is what this one does.
Sometimes
is that Sean?
No, that was her.
Oh.
We
Why?
Were talking a little bit. I don't know. I didn't.
She was so quiet. You were so quiet when once we got to the Goat Hill Bar or whatever, you know. And then she sees this group of kids dancing and everything, you know. Which
and
is
then
cool.
I get adopted into the group. And then I get initiated. Because, let me explain.
Wow. Wow.
Because I'm dancing, right? I'm dancing with this new group of friends that's like 4 or 5 feet away from Sean. And like, they're like, they can see me. It's not like I like totally ditched them.
Yeah, not until she went to the other room.
You know what, Linda? One second. And then we're like dancing, and they're all like, you know, I don't know, just. they're like, ah, you're so, you know, we're just girl talk at the bar or whatever. And then they had gems on their faces, and they were like, we gotta put gems on you. And I'm like, yes. And so then they put gems, like little sparkly gems on my faces. So officially I'm initiated and adopted into mm-hmm. this group. It's official. Like they're my friends now. Mm-hmm. And so
anytime I get diamonds on my face, yeah, I'm in too.
Yeah. It's like, we're all here now. Yeah, and then, yeah. So then they were going,
put a ring on it.
And it was one of the girls' birthdays. And so we, yeah, it was just, I was now adopted, and this group was my group now. We were packed, right? And then they go to like a patio, and Sean's like, it's okay, you can go. I'm like, okay. And so then I just like go off with this like group of people I just met, and we all, Casey is just.
So you gave her permission to leave?
Well, she goes, I'm going to go over. And I mean, when, okay.
That's not, well.
You know. All right. Steve and so I will stay here by ourselves.
More like she told you what she was doing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. You know. It was like a mutual. Yeah. I was initiated. I had
no, the only thing I was concerned about, though, was that Steve and I were ready to leave, though. And I did want to make sure that she was okay.
Yeah.
You know, by herself and everything. So. Oh,
didn't leave as one?
So no, and that's, you know, we were trying to, you know. But
dude, they don't get it. It's like a girl code, but it only extends to the girls.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
They'll, like, come together, leave together?
Yeah, well, because I was like, there's been plenty of times where I've gone.
She wanted to hook up with somebody is
no,
what
I
it was.
No, I didn't!
And you guys
come
were just,
on.
You guys were just upset
with the
that you weren't involved?
Big time.
I was flirting with the waitress.
Left her a note with your number.
I did.
Okay, then, see? She wanted to hook
you're
up.
Sticking paws off me.
Hey, I was nice. I was nice, okay? And then, yeah, so I was just adopted in this friend group. We ended up hanging out for like 4.5 hours, like a long time.
Well, what time did you get home, though?
3 a.m.
Damn.
Yeah. Okay, but, and one of her friends got kicked out.
What happened?
She went into the wrong restroom. She needed to pee. She went into the men's restroom on accident, and then she got kicked out.
Wow.
And it got to the point where
wait
the bar,
a minute.
Yeah. No, it's not like that. No, it's not like
I'm
that.
I'm going exactly where you're going.
No, because her boyfriend was with us. It wasn't like she just needed to pee. No. It wasn't like, okay, no, these people are like close friends. If she was doing that, she would have told us.
Send your letters and emails too.
Exactly.
Let us know what you think happened in the bathroom.
Your weekly dose
one@gmail.com.
This is going great.
Yeah. Well, either way, I'm glad you had a good time.
It was
I'm
a fun
glad
time.
You had a good time.
Yeah.
You know, even though you kind of went, I'm going with them. Okay, that's, we'll see you. All right.
Okay. You guys could have come if you wanted to, but you guys were just
we
like,
weren't invited. I didn't get any diamonds on my face.
I'm sure that you know, if you came over.
I didn't jump up and dance because somebody looked at me.
Sean's only used to pearls on his face.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm sure that if you would have come over, the
that's
guy,
true.
Like, everyone would have been vibing. They were all vibing. Anyone who came up to them, they just started vibing. There were a couple people initiating. Like, it was funny because at one point, everyone was kind of talking to me to get gems put on their faces. It was almost like I was like this little manager of like this gem group. It's like everyone's like, where? And I was like bringing people over and like they would like gem their face. Like it was a whole thing.
So they found you and then made you king.
Yes. Thank you.
Meanwhile, we're the poppers. So, yeah.
Meanwhile, they left like 20 minutes after I made these friends.
Because we were stranded, you know. I mean,
they
weren't gemmed.
We weren't gemmed, yeah.
You couldn't exactly. come over anytime.
They weren't touched.
I know.
We were untouched, untouchable.
I was, apparently I was the leader. Especially at one point during the night, I was really like.
We get it.
Yeah.
We get it.
Sorry. He's like, stop.
We get it. You know.
I was crowned.
It's all right.
I was crowned.
You were crowned. We weren't. We got left behind. You know, it's okay. You know. So, you know. And
Next time I'll make sure to specifically say, grab here. Now.
That would have been nice to be included.
you could have come over.
Hey, Sean, you want to dance too? Okay. You know, but.
Oh geez.
I was crowned the royalty of this group, and you are friends with the royalty. You could have come.
We didn't know. See, We didn't get the invitation from the palace.
I didn't either. The girl made eye contact with me. That's it.
The girl made eye contact.
Yeah.
It was obviously clear what she wanted.
This was the eye contact, okay? And I'm the girl, okay? I'm the girl, right?
Uh-huh.
And you're Caitlin.
Okay.
That was it!
But then there was the second time when she reached out and literally, like, grabbed my hand. So that was the invite.
That it is true. Well, she did grab her.
Well, that's because, you know, Nia was kind of going...
See, this doesn't make great audio here.
That sounds like game.
Yeah. He's looking like this at her.
I know. Some interesting wink, you know. Interesting winking.
Yeah, there you go.
Interesting winking was definitely going
some
on.
Some face squinting.
So, yes.
Well, either way, I'm glad you had a good time. We had a good time at dinner and everything.
Yeah,
we had a blast. So, yeah, let's go ahead and do that and get him going. So, today is National Record Day. And, of course, every time we do National Record Day, we always call on our dear friend, Mighty John Marshall, the man, the myth, the legend of all that is vinyl. Mighty John, how are you?
I am well. Good afternoon, morning, wherever you are. I'm fine.
How you been, my friend?
Very good. Thank you.
Good deal. What's been going on new with you?
Well, you know, I've been very busy doing. I do a lot of radio and some TV interviews, telling people what their records are worth. And starting, hopefully next month, we'll have a YouTube channel as well to help.
Oh, wonderful!
Up. Yeah,
that would be great. Please let us know because that way we can help promote it too as well.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And so, how are things out in your neck of the woods?
Pretty good. Weather's good, and a lot more people out and about. Yard sales are starting to come along. That's where we find all the treasures that we're looking for.
Yes,
so
you
do. Yard sales the last couple of years.
Any 5 cent treasures?
Well, the latest that I can think of was a Beach Boys 45 called Barb Ran. Found that with its picture sleeve, and that's currently up to about $125, and I paid a nickel for it.
I love that. I love that. And it's so funny. I was really thinking about you today, too, because where I live, it's a community, kind of like an HOA thing, and everybody is doing like a garage sale all at the same time. So after the show,
Cool.
I'm going to see what I can go out and find and everything and take a lot of nickels with me.
Yes.
So, all right. So you've got a list of us, a couple of things that you sent here for us. Let's go ahead and go down that. And what are all these... pertaining to, Mighty John?
Well, it's a mix of a lot of different eras, a lot of different music, some old, some new. Give you an idea of where the money is. And these are all worth $1,000 or more. So if you find any of these, you're going to have a real good day.
Nice. Okay, let's go. Let's start.
I know. So
all right,
take
I'm telling our list
with
to give you
when you go out.
Ready?
Yeah, go ahead, Mighty John.
Okay, Motley Crue, their first 45, Stick to Your Guns, with its picture sleeve up to $1,200 right now, 1981.
Wow.
Michael Jackson, from the album E.T., Extraterrestrial, the 45, Someone in the Dark, with its picture sleeve up to $1,500.
I didn't even know there was a single from that album.
Wow. Yeah, what happened was... MCA released that album, E.T., and Epic Records didn't like it. They didn't want MCA to have Michael Jackson, so they released Thriller the very same week and kind of buried old E.T., so that's why not too many of them are out there.
Interesting. Okay.
Look for Billy Joel, the album The Stranger. Here's the key. A stereo copy, no more than $10, but find a mono copy up to $2,000.
Really?
Why?
1974, David Bowie. Great 45. Don't know why it wasn't a hit. Rock and Roll With Me. Just the 45 on RCA, currently up to $3,000.
Holy cow.
Bruce, very collectible. The Boss, Spirit in the Night, his first single on Columbia Records, currently up to $4,000.
Jeez.
Picture discs can be very collectible, you know, with a picture of the recording artist on the vinyl itself.
Uh-huh.
1980, ELO, Olivia Newton-John from the soundtrack Xanadu. Picture disc with Olivia Newton-John's picture on the vinyl, currently up to $6,000.
Wow.
What is making...
Tina Turner, River Deep, Mountain High. This album sold millions. Why is it worth money? Well, because most everybody bought it on A&M Records. worth no more than $10 to $15. But the original on Phil Spector's record label, Phillies Records. And on that label, I can Tina River Deep Mountain High up to $10,000.
Wow.
Elvis. Well, big Elvis movie coming out this spring, this summer. One of his number one hits, Can't Help Falling in Love with You. Regular 45, worth up to about $40. But RCA also released it as a 7-inch 33, which means it's the same size as a 45, but it plays at the speed of an album, with picture sleeve up to $16,000. Rolling Stones, Street Fighting Man. We've always talked about the picture sleeves that came with 45s being worth more than the record itself. And this is the prime example. Street Fighting Man by the Stones, the record up to $10. The picture sleeve up to $18,000 by itself.
Jeez.
And number one to look for on our list, The Beatles. Everything by The Beatles is worth money. Mm-hmm. 1964 VJ Records, 45, Ask Me Why, with Anna on the flip side.
Oh, I love
Most people would have Ask Me Why with Please, Please Me on the flip side. But if you have Anna on the flip side, The Beatles, 45, currently up to $30,000.
Wow. That is an amazing list. Now, here's one. Xanadu, picture disc, you said, $6,000. A lot of people didn't really care for the movie.
I'm not hearing you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that, Mike John.
How long you been in radio?
I know, no kidding. Okay. The Xanadu pictures disc, a lot of people, you know, kind of looked at almost that as a cult classic kind of a thing or a cult favorite. Is that the reason why that one is so worth that much?
It was a big bomb, no question about it. Xanadu was one of the worst movies ever. The picture disc, I believe, these were 10-inch picture discs as opposed to the regular 12-inch picture discs. And I believe less than 100 were released. So that's why it's worth so much money.
Wow. Okay. And then the Billy Joel, The Stranger, you said the mono version.
Yeah.
Was mono's, because that came out, what, in the 70s?
Well, actually, the stereo version came out, I believe, in 79.
Okay.
And then the Mistakes came out in 1980, mono copies.
Oh.
They didn't mean to put them out there, but they got out there, and that makes it a big collectible.
Wow, that's a pretty cool. Okay, so I thought they might have released the mono first. I didn't even realize they were still releasing mono, but you said it was a mistake. So that makes a lot more sense, which therefore makes it a rarity and everything.
Yes.
I didn't know that Phil Spector had his own label.
Oh, yes. All the Crystals hits and the Ronettes, all those girl groups of the 60s, they were all in Phillies Records.
How long did that label last?
Well, through the end of the 60s, I don't think they were into the 70s it was around. Phillies stands for Phil Spector and his partner, Les. I can't remember the guy's last name, but that's where they get Phillies.
Phillies, got it.
Yeah. And actually, there's a great story behind that. He owed Les one last record, and they had a contract. And so he got together with the Crystals, and he put together a record he knew wouldn't sell at all, so just kind of stick it to Les. And the record was called The Screw, which radio stations wouldn't play. But find a copy up to $5,000.
Wow. That's amazing. And the last thing I want to ask, you're also talking about the Elvis Presley on a 7-inch, but yet it played at 33 and a third. How common was that to put it on a 45 size or 7-inch, but play it at the 33 versus the 45?
Well, in the early 60s, somebody had the brilliant idea of eliminating a speed on the turntable, in this case 45, to save money and play everything at 33. But so many people had 45s they wouldn't be able to play that the idea was abandoned rather quickly, kind of like New Coke and those types of things. And so they weren't around very long. They didn't sell very well. And so they're worth a lot of money today.
Got it. So therefore it becomes more of a rarity type of a thing.
Yes. Rarity is a big factor in any kind of collectible.
Got it. Mighty John, it is always good to hear your voice. We love it when
you
give us these things. When is your YouTube channel possibly going to be up?
Well, working on it right now, putting the final touches together. Hopefully by the end of May.
Okay.
We'll have it up. Yeah.
Okay. We'll definitely want to get in touch with you then, so that way we can, like I said, help promote it and everything. And because you're a friend of the program as well, and we would definitely want to help out and make sure that everybody goes to you.
Great.
Yeah, and for those of you in our other syndications, if you are a record collector yourself or trying to find out what are the best records to go out there and get or try to figure out, you can always get a hold of Mighty John Marshall. You can go to his website, which is moneymusic.net, correct?
.com.
Yeah. Moneymusic.com. Yeah. And there is a list of information there that you can get from him, also purchase all the different lists and everything. And also, if you want to have any of your records appraised and tell you, and he can let you know exactly what the value is of the record that you have, he could definitely help you out with that too as well.
I appreciate it. Moneymusic.com, the big item is a price guide that lists the values for over a million records, just $19.95.
Absolutely, and it's easy, and he's a great guy, and we love him here as well.
Oh, thank you very much.
Absolutely, my John. And again, buddy, thank you so much for coming on for National Record Day. And one quick question. With the technology, the way things gone, obviously record stores have declined over the years. In your area, are there still many record stores? Or are you still just kind of finding things still at the garage sales and yard sales?
No, most of the record stores that were here prior to the pandemic are still operating.
Oh,
I believe
nice.
Bull Moose, the big record company around here, I believe was actually the record store that started Record Store Day 15, 20 years ago. So they're wide open and doing fine. And people always ask me, what should I buy on Record Store Day that's going to be worth a lot of money down the road? I don't know.
Right.
But I always tell people, buy what you like. And if it becomes collectible, great.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the kind of cool thing that I kind of miss, too, is going to the record stores and and flipping through the different records and the different albums and looking at the covers and everything, or trying to find the 45s and everything. I really miss those days as a teenager of, you know, riding my bike up to the record store and doing that.
Yeah, and another thing, if you're looking for valuable records, don't forget thrift stores like Goodwill or Salvation Army. You can often find some very valuable records there if you know what to look for.
Exactly, and there are a ton of them, because every time I go into a Goodwill store myself, and if I see the records, I'll go through those too and go, I wonder if Mighty John would buy this one. You know. You know, can I find another Elvis gospel album somewhere in here?
Yeah.
You know.
There are people that actually want to rent me out to go with them to yard sales.
That's so funny.
Yeah. I don't blame them, too. I mean,
because
that's good money, too. You go, hey, $100 an hour, I'll go with you. You know, I know.
We're creating a whole new service here.
Oh, yeah.
A whole new niche market here.
That's right.
Absolutely. You know. You know, and if you want to fly Mighty John Marshall out to your area, I'm sure he would love that.
Oh, my God.
You know, he would love that.
Another big, key, if you don't see any records at a yard sale, always ask, do you have any records? A lot of people just don't think about putting them out. And by asking that one question, I've come across some of the most valuable records I've found.
Wow.
Jeez. And what right now, my John, what, because I know it's probably changed over the years, what is the most expensive one that you own right now, the most valuable?
That Elvis 7-inch 33, Can't Help Falling in Love. And the key here, I got it from a record promoter who didn't have any idea what it was worth. He just knew I was an Elvis fan.
Wow, what a nice guy.
What a nice guy.
What a nice guy. I mean, he's no nun, but that's a nice guy. You know.
You're fading out on me again.
Oh, no. Okay. That's probably our connection, though, is what it is. Can you still hear me, Mighty John?
I hear you slightly.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and say goodbye right now, Mighty John. Thank you so much, and we'll get in touch with you back in May so we can help promote your YouTube channel.
Cool. Talk to you soon.
Okay, Mighty John. Take care. All right. What did you guys think of that?
Cool.
That's kind of cool, isn't it?
I
told you. Yeah. I mean, some of the stuff that he knows, I mean, it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. I think we probably need, if he couldn't hear me, then we probably need to get a new adapter on that phone.
Okay.
So I'll go out and get one. So, alrighty. Well, you know, it's so many things are going on today. It's National Records Day. It's also National Jelly Bean Day.
Oh. Ooh.
Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe Nia has some facts for us on regarding some jelly beans.
Oh, I do indeed.
What you got over there, darling? By the great Eddie Cochran. Look at that. Wow.
Look at that music video. Gonna tell you why it's true.
Is that remember, like Lewis and Martin movie? Right, what do you got for us?
The origin of jelly beans may actually come from Turkey.
Get out of here. No.
Yeah. While it is known that jelly beans were invented in the U.S., the inspiration may come from Turkish delights. Both Turkish delights and jelly beans are jelly candy, but jelly beans are turned into the bean shape with a shell, and Turkish delights are just rolled in powdered sugar.
Huh. That's kind of cool.
I'm glad you clarified that, because turkey would make a terrible jelly bean flavor.
Right? Yeah.
I'm glad you clarified that. Thank you.
I don't know. Jelly bean, like, jelly bellies have made some, not just... Wait, jelly bellies are like the ruined ones.
The ruined ones?
Wait.
Like, are you talking like old or something or what?
No, okay, like, I'm trying to think. Beans? Okay, so like an hour from my hometown, there's the Jelly Belly Factory, right? I'm getting them mixed up because there's this bag that you could buy of ones that are like, they're weird shape and stuff, and they're cheaper. And I think they're called... like
screw ups?
No. Oh. There's like
rejects?
Mutants.
Mutants.
I don't know why I'm so tripping on this, but Jelly Belly is the name of a jelly bean company, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I was thinking of like there was the people who've been to like the Jelly Belly factory, there's like those big bags of
jelly beans.
No. Oh. But they're ones that they can't sell because they look weird.
The rejects.
Yes, but there's a specific name for it. And I was getting that I don't know.
I know she's trying to tell us something. I know she's trying to tell us something.
Oh, they're called belly flops.
That's what, yes, belly flops. Yeah.
Clever.
Yeah, that's what they
so
are.
So clever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I've been to that factory.
That's more marketable than rejects. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, belly flops.
Belly flops. Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And then the first jelly beans were given to soldiers. Jelly beans. I love jelly beans. Nice.
Love jelly
oh
beans.
My god, the animation! The little music video! The first jelly beans were given to soldiers during the Civil War. The first known sign of jelly beans came from an advertisement for William Shraft of Boston that promoted sending jelly beans to Union soldiers during the war. The hard shell and shelf life made this the perfect confection to send soldiers.
Toy boat.
And then President Reagan's favorite candy was the jelly bean too.
That's true. It was. Yeah.
Yeah. And did you know that if you laid those jelly beans eaten last year end to end, they would circle the earth more than 5 times.
No.
5.5 times to be exact.
Really?
Wee-oo, yeah.
That's a lot of jelly beans.
I know.
Because they're small.
They are small. These small. New ones. Yeah, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then jelly beans were originally a Christmas tradition. Before people started to realize their likeness to Easter eggs, jelly beans were a treat often indulged during the Christmas holidays.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Jelly beans became popular as an Easter basket filler in the late 1930s. And now, jelly beans manufacturers make 16 billion jelly beans for Easter alone.
How many?
16 billion.
Damn, that's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and then Jelly Belly, haha, that's donated 288,000 jelly beans in 47 different flavors for the world's first jelly bean stop motion animation music video, In Your Arms, by Kiana Grennis.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Have you ever been to the Jelly Belly Factory?
No.
Because they have, like, huge portraits and art made from jelly beans. And it's, like, incredibly detailed, and it's, like, you could tell that they put a lot of work into them. But they have, like, a whole section of, like, all this jelly bean art.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I wonder if they could do that with M&M's, though, or Skittles.
Technically, yeah, but jelly, like, you could do them more with the jelly beans because of how many different flavors there are, so uh-huh. It's so detailed.
Okay, oh, so this is the video itself.
What is this? Oh, shit. Let's go quiet to the park. Where oh my gosh, that's so much work.
Started cold night, us lying in the dark. I felt wow. My heart that is a lot of jelly beans.
That's a lot of work. That took forever, I bet.
Well, especially for stop motion.
Oh yeah. I'd feel safe.
Wow.
Oh my. Anything we have known,
anything we've forgotten. We'll have to post this on our Facebook page.
Dang. That's impressive.
I think the last time I saw a video like that was Sledgehammer by Peter Gabriel.
Yeah.
So,
and
very
even
cool.
Like stop. Yeah, stop motion takes forever. And that.
A day.
Yeah. And that, I bet that had a lot. That took a long time to do.
Yeah. I just wish that she spent that much effort on the lyrics.
Right?
Yeah, I know, exactly. Mm, too bad.
Ouch.
Yikes. Bad. Yeah. I know, Casey's always just saying it as it is.
And she's right under you built the city, you know?
That's probably.
You know. But above ABBA, you know, above ABBA, right below Rudy of the City. Yeah, so. Yeah. All right, should we do sports?
Let's do it.
Ooh.
Let's do some sports.
Sports. The final frontier.
Ooh.
These are the trips of your weekly dose.
You really have all such right. A badass theme song.
I picked a good one for him.
Yeah.
I picked a good one for
like,
him.
It's heavy.
So, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's heavy.
It's better than the outfield.
Yeah. Exactly. How has sports been this
well,
last
it's
couple
Well, it's been 2 weeks, so you've got a choice. I can tell you about how I broke up with baseball again. I can tell you how I'm in love with basketball. Or I can tell you about the Tom Brady conspiracy.
Oh, no.
I can't believe I wasn't on last week. Your favorite guy. Tom Brady involved in a massive conspiracy.
And that's it is for sports. Thanks right. For joining us. We appreciate it.
It was wild.
Oh, you mean another one?
What's going on with Tom Brady?
Oh, okay. This is wild. So you haven't heard it. All right. And has anybody else heard this one? This is
no.
This is a brilliant story.
Okay.
Brilliant.
Okay.
So we're all Confucius.
You know how he retired?
Supposedly.
After the end of the season like this, right?
Right. Then okay. He found out how much gas was, and now he's unretired.
Fair enough. That
right.
Is
that's
a fair.
That's
yeah.
A the move alone was going to cost millions. And so apparently, as it turns out, the plan was, so this is an incredibly intricate master plan, was, okay, he was going to be offered a part of the Miami Dolphins.
Ooh.
And among the minority Dolphins, minority owners are people like Gloria Estefan, you know, Venus and Serena Williams. Okay, so Tom's moving into his class, right? Then after that, after he becomes partial owner, they hire Sean Payton, who just resigned from the New Orleans Saints or fired or quit or whatever. And he would make a stunning announcement that he would come back and play, thereby becoming the first player owner since Warren Beatty in Heaven Can Wait in 1978. Great movie, which gave the Rams their first Super Bowl, by the way. In any case, and so, but the thing is this. This whole thing was subverted because of Brian Flores's court case. You remember this, right? Because this was all about how you have to interview a certain amount of African-American coaches for any open spot. Well, this master plan does exactly the opposite of that. Right. They set it up so they already know who's going to be the hire. They're not going to interview anybody. Da 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 da. This whole thing is set up beforehand. OK, so the Flores thing just blows the whole top off of this. Tom Brady takes a flight to England. I think it was for a Manchester United game.
Mm-hmm.
Meets the owners of the Buccaneers. And 2 days later, Bruce Arians is moved out of the head coach position. And the guy that Tom Brady worked with last season, Brian Leftwich, becomes offensive coordinator. So it was all this fantastic conspiracy showing that the entire NFL still revolves around Tom Brady. So I thought you'd like that story.
It
does. Interesting.
Apparently.
Yeah. I mean, but what is the initiative for him to... I mean, to try and stay in as opposed to, look, you've had a great career.
Oh, wow. Well, that's the question, isn't it? You know, I was talking about how I did this interview with Ricky Ray, the quarterback for the CFL. And Ricky Ray was a guy who played forever. He played until he was 38. Okay, and then he won the Grey Cup. Uh-huh. This great upset. And he had a chance, because he had been talking about retirement. He had a chance to go out like John Elway. You know, win the Super Bowl, quit.
Right.
Decides to come back. 2 weeks in, gets put on a stretcher to leave the field on the next season. You know, it's like, dude. But that's the thing. And I asked him, and I've talked to pro football guys. These guys talk about retiring every offseason. They think about it. Because, man, football is brutal. Do you want to keep doing this? You know, every single one of these guys ask themselves this question. Now, Tom, I've seen interviews with Tom Brady. He's like, I don't like doing anything else. You know, that's all I want to do is football, right? But you kind of wonder if it's a situation like LeBron James, you know, where it's like, here you are. You're the old guy. You're acknowledged great and all this. And you don't know when to, like, hand over the torch. You know, you don't know when. But on the other hand, how can you question that guy? You know, we are not in a position to question that guy. You know, retire. You know, can you imagine saying this to a regular guy? You know, these guys that don't want to retire. Well, yeah, that's actually the law in a lot of workplaces. And we think that's unfair. I mean, if this guy is still like, okay, let's say in the workplace, this guy is 62, 65. He's still like mentally viable, and I'm not saying that because I'm almost 65. I'm not almost 65. You know, why not? Why does he have to retire? Well, same thing with Brady. Now, I mean, you know, the thing about sports is you show it in front of millions of people, you know,
right.
And sometimes it's ugly. But I mean, you know, again, like talking about the NBA playoffs, LeBron James is not in the NBA playoffs this year, and it is wonderful. It is wonderful because we can talk about something besides LeBron James. Once Tom Brady leaves football, I feel like we're going to be able to talk about something besides Tom Brady. And, you know, this is not their fault. This is the media that gloms onto this GOAT, this greatest of all time stuff. And we have to quantify everything that these guys do, that it becomes, you know, let's ignore Giannis Antetokounmpo, the MVP, who might win another title this year. Let's just ignore him because LeBron James is 38.
Right. Well, with Brady, though, do you think he will ever get it in his head to leave football? Or do you think he'll finally end up, like, somewhere end up being a coach or...
Oh, that's a good question, but I doubt he would be a great coach. I mean, like...
Why is that?
Well, okay, for example, one of the reasons why he didn't like Bruce Arians, the coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, is because Arians is famous for, I'm not going to be obsessed with football. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to, like, I'm going to have an 8-hour workday. You know, a lot of these guys sleep in their office during the season, right? Mm-hmm. No, I'm going to have an 8-hour day. I'm going to go home at 5 o'clock every day. You know, and Brady couldn't stand this because Brady is like obsessed. You know, he's on that Michael Jordan level. He's on that, you know, I got to do this like constantly. I got to constantly get better and better and better. And it's tough to impart that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, very few all-time greats become good coaches, managers, whatever. Larry Bird, of course, is a great example. And even he couldn't win the championship to a guy, to Phil Jackson, who was often a bench warmer when he was a player.
Right.
So, you know, they say that, like, being a bench warmer is better for a future career as a manager because then you're watching all the time.
Exactly.
You're kind of like, you're always watching and you're thinking about what's next, right? Whereas if you're doing it, you're doing it. You know, and it's hard to, you know, be great like me. You know, it's tough to do that. It's tough to impart that.
I mean, because I understand, you know, it's hard for these guys to step away, whether... You know, it's basketball, baseball, or football, or any other sport, or whatever. That because I mean, you know, from a certain age, you know, that's all you dream about. You know, as a kid, you know, being in the World Series, being in the World Cup, being in the Super Bowl, you know, whatever the case may be. And now you get there, not once, not twice, but 3, 4, 5 times. And maybe sometimes with different teams and everything, okay. You know, and I would think that...
But it's like, why does Bill Gates want more money? Because too much is never enough. I mean, even as a fan, I do this as a Laker fan. You know, they're winning like 2-3 in a row. I want the next one. I really do, you know? And I know that's, you know, it's cool if somebody else wins it and all that, but, you know, you still want it, you know? It's like, I know I've had so much, but I want more.
But just looking at all the accolades that he's done or whatever, why, you know, it's hard for him... I understand why it's hard to retire because, I mean, like I said, these guys, that's all they live for,
yeah.
You know, and everything. But at the same token, though, why couldn't he, you know, bow out and become a coach somewhere else or a training coach or whatever? You
obviously,
know?
He wants to be owner. Obviously, he wants a piece of the business, mm-hmm. right? I think that's LeBron's ultimate plan, too, is they want a little piece of the ownership. You know, Michael Jordan has
and that makes
now.
Sense, too. Yeah. You know, because you're still a part of it. Thing. You're recruiting and everything else, whatever,
you're
for
face
it.
Face of the franchise, you know,
like
John Elway.
Like with Magic, you know.
Right. Magic is another one. Yep. Yep.
You know,
see that's a better route for him. Plus, he's doing all his TB12 stuff, you know. Probably launch like a Goop or something, you know. He'll have a celebrity product line or something like that, you know.
Or his own line of footballs, yeah. You know, deflate on their own. Oh, that one fits my hand.
They're half size,
you know. Yeah,
when you get them, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and then he has a little area where he pumps it back up, and then oh, here you go, ref, you know. And
so yeah, it was an interesting, this whole thing was a very interesting way for him to have his cake, eat it too, and like sell it to everybody as well. It was really an interesting story.
Because those endorsements,
nothing
they're
beats
not coming
the NFL.
In at all. So yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Very cool. And real quick, let's talk about basketball real quick before we go.
Oh, loving basketball. Didn't like how Kevin Durant didn't show up for game two because I had a bunch of money on the Nets. But, but again, just really enjoyable that, you know, LeBron, the shadow of LeBron James is not there. You know, we get to enjoy all these other guys. Unfortunately, Luka Doncic of Dallas hasn't played yet. But I've just got a list here of guys who are coming out. Ja Morant on Memphis has done awesome stuff. Anthony Edwards, who people are just eating up. You know, you talk about making the leap, you know, and this is one of these cases where the guy is making the leap in front of our eyes. Nice to see because Minnesota Timberwolves don't get much TV time. You know, you've got Tatum and Brown in Boston, you know, Brandon Ingram and a bunch of other guys the Lakers traded. Just nice to see these young guys doing well, and nice that it's kind of up for grabs. You know, Phoenix Suns were thought to be a walk away. They finished quite a few games better than anybody else in the West, like 10 games better than the next best in the West. You know, the defending Western champions, lest we forget. But then, you know, Booker went out. Devin Booker went out. So now we don't know about them. There's so many. You know, the Nets have not really looked great. The 76ers have looked fantastic, but the Raptors are not putting up much of a fight. So you really can't tell. You really can't tell what's going to happen. The Warriors are looking good, though. Loving the Warriors.
Nice.
The other night, they had four guys with 20 points.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's
so, especially since it's been a while for them. So it would be nice to see the Warriors come back. I think that would be nice. But it's just fantastic stuff. Lots of close games. Tons of highlight reel stuff. Again, just these young stars sort of emerging. They get the spotlight finally. So just a lot of fun. I encourage anybody who likes sports at all to just check out some NBA. It's on all the time.
Absolutely.
Every night these nights.
All right. And that wraps it up for us for sports with Mr. Os Davis. Well, you know, today is also, God, there's so many things going on. It's also National Shakespeare, Talk Like Shakespeare Day.
Background music.
So we thought we'd figure out, you know, what better way to celebrate this than to look at some, I don't know, strange texting that has been going on. So we'd like to bring you now Shakespearean texting.
Yea, verily.
I'm finally divorced.
Dad!
Oh, sorry, wrong number.
Dad, you and Mom are divorced. Is this a joke?
Don't tell your mom.
That you're divorced?
No, that you know we're divorced. She wanted to tell you in person. Just come home after school and pretend you don't know anything.
You're joking, right? Tell me you're joking.
Hark there, honey. Guess what I just acquired?
I got a dog. His name is Bruce, like Springsteen. You like Springsteen, right?
She just wants the best for you.
She just got a dog.
Who did?
Mom, his name is Bruce.
Like Springsteen? That's nice. You love Springsteen.
She must be so lonely. Oh my God, I have to call her.
No. Remember when I spoiled your surprise party last year? Remember what she did then? At least give me time to get out of the house before you tell her. Please, at least give me that.
Look, Bruce got a new car. Just kidding. Dogs can't drive. It's actually for me.
She's losing her mind.
She's fine. Trust me. We've been sleeping with other people for years. This is just the paperwork now.
What?
Oh, come on. You thought I was really working from 9 to 9 all these years? No one works those hours. Not at my salary.
That's disgusting.
No, it's natural. You're studying evolution, aren't you? Monogamy is a lie. Besides, your mom's the real swinger. Compared to her, I'm a Jonas Brothers. They're still abstinent, right?
No, Dad, they're all married now.
Why am I not receiving any texts?
Dad, I have to say something.
Please don't.
Sorry, Dad. Mom, Dad told me.
Oh my God, you actually did it.
Mom, I'm here if you need to talk. Don't worry, I'm not upset. If this is what makes you happy, then I support it.
Well, thank you, honey. That means a lot to me. Just know that none of this is your fault.
Good.
Not the divorce, and certainly not the house burning down.
The house burned down?
Yes, it was an awful, terrible gas leak.
When?
In about 15 minutes.
How did she take it?
Dad, get out of the house!
And scene. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Oops, wrong button.
I've got a master's in theater. I don't remember that Shakespeare.
Wait, do you act? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I've got an MFA. Yeah. Dramatic writing.
Ah, nice. Actual,
but yeah, and what's hilarious is it's from the University of New Mexico Department of Theater and Dance.
Ooh.
So I can say I have an MFA in
Well, maybe
dance.
That's why you didn't recognize it, because we weren't dancing.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I only know Shakespeare, the mime version.
There you go. Yeah. All right. Well, you know, we tried to give you that. Of course, we haven't done this in quite a while. And we wanted to give you guys some class, some culture. Wow, Oz.
We did?
Yeah.
I was not informed.
Yeah, no, you weren't. Surprise.
Surprise.
Some class, some culture, something that we like to call pocket-sized cinema.
Oh, okay.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to pocket-sized cinema. Today's feature is entitled The Camping Trip. The Camping Trip. The Camping Trip. We open when a priest and a nun were lost in a snowstorm, and after a while they came upon a small cabin. Being exhausted, they prepared to go to sleep. There was a stack of blankets in the corner and a sleeping bag on the floor, but only one bed. Well, let's pick up the action here, shall we? Sit back, relax, and enjoy The Camping Trip. Sister, I know the situation here is a little awkward, but please, I insist that you sleep on the bed. I'll sleep on the floor in the sleeping bag.
Well, thank you, Father. That is so gentlemanly of you.
Well, it's no problem. Besides, I used to go camping with my brothers.
Again, thank you, Father.
Just as he got into the sleeping bag and zipped up in the bag, he was beginning to fall asleep. And the nun said,
Father, I'm so sorry to bother you, but I'm so cold. Would you please hand me another blanket?
The priest unzipped the sleeping bag, got up, and got a blanket and put it on her. Once again, he got into the sleeping bag, zipped it up, and started to drift off into sleep. When the nun spoke again,
Father. I'm still very cold. Wouldn't mind handing me another blanket?
Of course not, sister. He unzipped the bag, got up again, put another blanket on her, and got to the sleeping bag once again, just as his eyes closed.
Father, I'm still so cold.
Sister, I have an idea. We're out here in the wilderness, where no one will ever know what happened. Let's pretend we're married.
That's fine by me.
To which the priest yelled, then get up your own damn stupid blanket. Yeah! That's how that one goes. Alright, you ready for what's news?
What's news?
What's a cat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's news?
That's the worst song of all time.
There you go. There you go. There's the worst song of all time.
I'm going to put you outside now.
That one, Abba.
And this is the part where we don't sing the rest, right?
Yeah, exactly. That'll make him call in again, one of the two.
Yeah.
All right.
You're lucky
see.
I don't know the words. I only know pussycat, pussycat.
How about whoa, whoa, whoa? Do you know that part?
I could do that one.
Okay. There we go. There we go. A fast learner, I see.
I can whoa. I whoa with the best of them.
Yes, you do.
Whoa.
A protester tries to glue herself to court during Clippers Timberwolves game. A woman protesting the mass killing of chickens tried to glue herself to a basketball court during a play in a game between the host Minnesota Timberwolves and the Los Angeles Clippers. While TNT announcers Kevin Harlan and Maggie Miller tried to figure out what was going on as personnel surrounded the protester near the baseline, sideline reporter Allie LaForce said the interlooper tried to glue herself to the floor and was resisting security. The protester left a white handprint on the hardwood. The animal rights group Direct Action Everywhere confirmed the motive in a news release.
I just love lyric.
Identifying the activist as Alicia Santiro. Santiro wore a t-shirt saying Glenn Taylor roasts animals alive to protest the mass killings of chickens amid an avian flu outbreak on Timberwolves owner Glenn Taylor's Iowa egg farm, according to the release.
Even though the game was in Memphis.
A laughing Santiro, still wearing her shirt and trending on Twitter as hashtag glue girl, later took to the performer to the platform to say her stunt was to raise awareness of Direct Action Everywhere's investigation of Taylor's farm. Santiro wasn't jailed, Direct Action Everywhere spokesperson Matt Johnson noted. The Timberwolves announced on Twitter that the team was in touch with Target Center security to address the fan disruption.
This is a pandemic.
You know, I saw that. I saw that happen, and I didn't know anything about the PETA motivation, and all I thought was, LSD is awesome. I thought for sure it was an acid trip where she's like, yeah, that's it. I'm going to glue my hand to the floor, and I'm going to see God. You know, it was that kind of thing. I thought for sure. And then when I found out it was PETA, I was just like, oh. Okay.
But this is, they're launching all over the place right now. They're doing this in a couple places. There was just
started with Will Smith.
There was just a. Oh.
Well done.
Yeah, there was just another woman that glued her hand to the counter at Starbucks because charge extra for the vegan options, like dairy-free option milks. They upcharge for that. And her protest was essentially that their Earth Day promotions are nothing but hot air. Until they're charging people more to like do the sustainably sourced thing.
I used to get glue and put it on my hand and wait until it dried and then peel it off. Anybody ever do that?
No.
Yes. Of course. All right.
Yeah.
No.
Did you ever eat the paste?
Oh my.
No. Oh, okay.
But yeah, it looks like that's just you.
Would you like to?
Hell no.
Would you like to?
What the heck?
Did you ever get the rubber cement or whatever and like let it dry too, whatever, and then like put it on your nose, pretend it was a booger?
Oh my gosh.
That was always fun.
We're learning more about Sean's childhood.
That was all before I was 10.
All right, well, here's a good one here. Easter Bunny inadvertently hands out eggs stuffed with condoms at a Texas elementary school.
Well, that seems like a mix-up from something else.
Yes,
Where were they supposed to be hung? That's just it.
That's the story
behind the story.
High school? Is that a real answer?
No.
Oh.
A parent dressed as the Easter Bunny inadvertently handed out colorful eggs stuffed with condoms at an elementary school in Austin, Texas last week.
Oh, no.
Most of the eggs were filled with candy. Candy and handful contained packages of condoms, the Houston Chronicle reported. Now, one father took to Twitter to discuss the incident. He said, according to the tweet, the thread among parents, though, it appeared to be an incident, innocent error. One of the parents who works at a pharmacy had been dressed as the Easter Bunny for a safe sex presentation at an area clinic. She kept the costume on when she arrived at the school to pick up her second grader and was immediately mobbed by the children.
Oh.
Go fig. Okay. Yeah, now, in response, the woman handed out eggs filled with candy. When she ran out, she asked her husband to get more, and he apparently brought back some of the other eggs.
Oh.
And chaos ensued, basically, from that point on. There you go. Blame the dad. Yeah, picking up the wrong eggs. And the school district is now reviewing its safety protocols. So there you go.
Appropriate. I can understand that.
Well, it makes sense.
Yeah.
He was just trying to keep the
egg condom filled eggs.
That's his stash, you know.
They were just doing it at a sex clinic. She was a bunny at a sex clinic. She wasn't even supposed to be the bunny at the school.
Not a Playboy bunny, but just like a regular.
She's trying to keep the bunny humping to a minimum.
That would be a good thing, though. Playboy bunny handing out. Nah, that's nice. Okay. Anyway, that's an image. I love that image.
Woman rescued after falling in outhouse. A woman who accidentally dropped her cell phone into the hole of an outhouse in a national forest and fell in while trying to retrieve it had to be rescued by firefighters in Washington State. Brennan Fire Department Chief Tim Manley said the woman, who was at the top of Mount Walker in the Olympic National Forest northwest of Seattle, had been using her phone when it fell into the toilet. I've actually been there. Manly.
To that same outhouse?
Jesus.
Not the outhouse, but.
Don't go in after it.
Jeez. Right? I don't know. I'd probably call. Oh, wait. I said I'd probably.
It's okay. I got you.
I got you.
He's like, you can borrow the phone. You can borrow the phone. Mm. You can call someone. Manly. I like it. This is their last name. Manly said she disassembled the toilet seat and used dog leashes to try and get the phone and eventually used the leashes to tie herself off as she reached for it. She was trying.
She was eager.
She's like spelunking.
Oh my god.
That effort failed and she fell into the toilet head first. No.
It wasn't an android.
No.
She had to tie it to herself and go inside. Like, how deep is this outhouse?
Well, it's an outhouse, man. You gotta dig it pretty deep, so, you know.
Damn. The woman was alone and tried to get out for 10 to 15 minutes, reunited with her phone. She called 911, responding firefighters passed.
It worked.
Blocks.
Nice.
To stand on to reach a harness, which they used to pull her out of the vault. The woman said she was uninjured.
Just emotionally. Mentally.
Oh, I would hate that. I'm a total, germaphobe. That would be my... No. She was washed down and strongly encouraged to seek medical attention after being exposed to human waste, but she only wanted to leave. The department said, I would have gone straight to the hospital. I would have no problem going to the doctor after that. I would have been like, yeah, I hopefully don't have a disease. I've been...
What? She has a disease already. So, it's called an addiction to that phone.
Yeah, kidding.
That is a serious...
Now, wait a second. You said that the firefighters saved her, right? So when you say she was hosed off, they're using, the big power. They're, getting her clean, right?
When she was hosed off, she was very clean.
Yeah. They put her against the wall. It's just
peeled off a layer or two of skin.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They were like, you might want to go to the doctor because you're going to need a skin graft.
Gotta be sure.
And she even, there's a quote that says, I've been doing this for 40 years, and that was the first, Manly said.
For the firefighter, yeah. They see a lot of fur sometimes.
Oh, yeah. No, interesting stories. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if this is a first or a last or whatever, but I just love how it starts out, though. A Florida bride
Naturally.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, Florida Bride. And her caterer are arrested after pot lasagna. Mm. Yep, here he is. A Florida Bride and her caterer were arrested after allegedly lacing food with marijuana during a wedding. The bride, Dana Glenny, and her caterer, Jocelyn Bryant, are both facing charges for tampering, culpable negligence, and delivery of marijuana. Bryant of Jocelyn's Southern Kitchen, described...
If you want to get high,
yeah, give me that number.
Jocelyn's Southern Kitchen, come on down.
Describes herself as a holistic chef, according to her website. The wedding, which was attended by around 30 to 40 people, took place at the Springs Clubhouse in Longwood, Florida. Another plug. When deputies were called to the scene, they spoke with a male guest who reportedly requested an ambulance because he was feeling weird and said he felt like he had drugs inside him.
I don't know, man. I feel kind of weird. I think I got some drugs inside me. I'm not too sure what it is.
I don't know where inside. But
right, exactly. Checklist.
I might have taken some NyQuil earlier, but I normally know what that feels like. This feels like this is a booster.
Oh, my gosh.
Several other attendees were transported and treated at local hospitals after they experienced sickness and feeling of being high or stoned. Authorities collected multiple items served at the ceremony, including chocolate-covered strawberries, bread, cookies, traditional brownies, pudding shots, and a handful of lasagna. The police reported said that the lasagna and piece of bread tested positive for...
It don't even fit. Lasagna, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, no, you're fine.
All the streets.
All the streets.
Yep, that's where it was, everybody. Have some more lasagna. Yep, the police... Yeah, the police report said the lasagna and a piece of bread tested positive for THC. Glenny, 42, and Brian...
Bread.
And Brian, 31, yeah, turned themselves into authorities. Yeah. So
I'm guessing weed is illegal in Florida?
Yeah, it's not legal anymore.
Yeah, I guess.
I definitely would have thought that would have happened here in California.
Yeah, but the thing was, it was laced with it. So in other words, the people were not.
Oh, they
weren't told.
No consensual.
They weren't,
Yeah, exactly.
that's the
not cool.
Yeah, that's the not cool part.
That's why they were arrested.
Yeah,
that's the not cool part.
Yeah.
So, there you go, and that's what's news.
What's news?
What's news, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa! What's news, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa!
I couldn't figure out why you're throwing paper at me.
They're always throwing paper at the trash can sometimes.
Right, okay. Now I figured it out.
Hey. Yeah, there's a little wastebasket there. And see, normally I flip it or whatever, and Steve tries to knock it.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, the thing is, though, is that I keep missing. So at least I'm consistent right now. You know. So there you go.
If
there's
you're
that.
Betting,
gotta use the backboard.
Yeah.
Use the backboard.
I think so. If I can
put
it that far. Yeah.
All right.
All right. Should we play the game?
Play the game.
Let's do this.
And now, the game show that makes us all really miss Steve Silva. Quiz me.
Quiz you. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
That was really good.
I thought we were just going to sit in silence pretty much. For like, yeah. I was like, we're just really going
to
just.
I had nothing coming to mind. So.
Yeah, I was like, we're just going to mourn Steve leaving us in these 20 seconds.
Couldn't
like,
do it that way. I know. I was surprised myself a little. Yeah.
That was pretty good. No, yeah, hey, yeah. You know, and you had like that Louis Armstrong thing going for you too. So, that was pretty good. So,
all right, and
all right, so we got intern Christopher out there reading us
Hello.
Questions. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good.
Wonderful.
Pretty
hey,
good.
I heard you got to go see somebody the other night. Pretty important to you?
Yes, I did.
Who'd you go see?
I went to see a comedian,
and that comedian's name would be.
His name was Jeff Dunham.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the guy who talks funny.
Yes, he does, very much so. The guy with the plays with his dolls or his puppets or whatever.
Yeah, I know. And he's like 50 years old. It's like, come on.
How was the show?
That's messed up, man. Old, man. What's wrong with being old,
but
man?
True.
I'm 41. What's wrong with being older, man?
Do you still play with your dolls?
Did you just say, oh, no?
Did you? Wait.
I said, oh, no, because I know.
This is cold, man.
No, I was like, uh-oh, a problem's been started. That's what I said. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah. So, here's the difference between you and Jeff, though. He still plays with his dolls.
He still plays with toys.
Oh, he does, too. Oh, okay.
Yeah, but okay. Dunham makes a little bit of money with it, though. Front street,
yeah, but I got to ask, though, do you still use the G.I. Joe with the kung fu grip?
Well,
I can neither confirm nor deny.
I was going to say, they're not toys. They're action figures.
Right.
My man. Oh, damn my
God. Like three people just pointed and high-fived.
That's the difference. It's that man, and a kung fu grip.
Yeah. That's right.
Take that, bitch.
All right. Now we got the laughing fits out of the way. Let's go on to question number one, shall we? All right.
Oh, real quick, guys, chime in. Your name is your buzzer, so if you think you know where the question is going, just yell your name.
Okay.
Okay. Christopher, we'll call on you and just give your answer.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Question one.
All right. In 1967, the body of U.S. President John F. Kennedy is moved to a permanent burial place at what cemetery?
Oz.
Mm,
Oz. Arlington National?
Yeah, Arlington National Cemetery.
Go good job. You.
It's the logical one.
Yeah.
All right.
I knew it too. It's
where question number two.
It's where you're from.
It's where you're from.
It's not where I'm from.
Wow, he got it wrong.
He's from Arkansas.
Elvis Presley and Priscilla Bowler do what?
What?
Casey?
Casey?
Sean.
And sing?
No.
They get married.
Get married in Las Vegas. That is correct.
Yeah. Do what? Silla. That's such a
I know. I don't know. Do what?
Yeah, I know. Do what? It's a weird way that's worded.
I know. Went from extremely specific which cemetery to what do they do? Do
what
context?
Did they do?
Like.
Yep. I was thinking Johnny and June.
All right. Question number three. The Green Bay Packers become the first team in the modern era to do what?
Kenania.
I like that one.
They're the first ones to, I forget how this phrase, but they're owned by like the public or something, right? Or they're owned by, they're not owned by like a specific person. They're owned by like a community or something like that, right?
If that's true, it's not the answer. So.
Other teams used to be like that. Oz.
Oz.
I'm going to say it's the first team to win the Super Bowl, right? Is
that no.
They're the first team to do what?
Well,
in the modern era, it specifically says that.
Yeah.
In the modern era. How modern is modern? What is the year? Do we know?
No.
It's probably after the first Super Bowl. They usually mark it there. So that's like 67 or so.
Any guess?
No. What is it?
To win three consecutive NFL championships.
Oh.
That's not really the modern era.
Wow, okay.
That's okay.
Well, then fight the paper.
I don't know. Exactly. I will.
Fight the paper.
All right, question number four.
or the writer who's sitting. Wait, who's the... Wait, no, he's the writer.
Oh, and it's like more like cut and paste, too, so...
Yeah. Fair.
All right.
Bitch at the website.
What actor was born Maren Mitchell Morrison and nicknamed the Duke?
Sean? John Wayne.
That is correct.
John Wayne Airport.
Okay.
Nice ad. Not very good ad. All right. Yeah. Very good.
Moving on to question number five.
Good idea.
I like him, yo. And moving on.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah. That's his job.
Yeah, to get the show going. Mm-hmm, all right. Yeah. In which city was George Michael charged with lewd behavior in 1998?
Lyric? Was it West Hollywood? I know it's in Los Angeles.
Yeah, is Los Angeles your answer, then?
I don't like the way you looked at me.
Well, you just need the city. That's all you need.
Oh, yeah, Los Angeles.
That is correct.
All right, there. Yeah. Woo! I'm on
the board.
On the board. Yeah. Congratulations. All right, question number six.
That's old school.
Sean's winning.
Which actor did Elizabeth Taylor marry twice?
Oh, Oz. Sean.
Oz, then Sean.
Richard Burton.
That is correct. Good job, Oz.
Good pull, Oz.
Yeah, you guys were both like...
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry, I fat fingered.
Excuse me. I didn't say the next question yet. There are some people who are listening that can't count. I gotta say the number.
Damn. Okay.
Question number 7. Who founded Band-Aid that received an honorary knighthood
Oz.
In Oz?
Oh, Sean.
Bob Geldof.
That is correct.
Damn.
Boomtown wow. Rats.
Question.
Yeah. Yeah. Holy shit.
The Boomtown
was,
Rats.
The year was 1986, by the way.
What was the question?
Who founded Band-Aid that received an honorary knighthood in 1986?
Damn. He knew it before he even said the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Band-Aid.
Yeah.
See, the way he was going when he first said, like, who founded Band-Aid, I was going to say Johnson & Johnson.
I had no idea. When he said Band-Aid, like, I don't know that dude.
All right, question number 8. Laugh it up, Fuzzball.
Us, Chewbacca, Star Wars. Oh no!
Han Solo!
It's Han Solo!
Damn! All right. Was that a question?
No, it no, wasn't.
What's going on, man?
I was so confused.
I'm an 80s child.
I don't know what's going on.
I'm an 80s child and I'm missing the question.
Oh yeah!
All right. We are on question number 8, don't worry.
I was going for the bonus points.
And you failed miserably.
Ah, sorry.
All right. Who is the only pitcher to win the Rookie of the Year, Cy Young, and MVP?
Lyric. Nolan Ryan.
Lyric? Wait.
Nolan Ryan. Lyric.
All right, Lyric.
Was it Nolan Ryan?
No.
Oz. Greg Maddux?
No.
Lyric. Roger Clemens?
No. Any other guesses from any of the people?
I forgot the question, to be honest.
The big tall dude. Randy Johnson.
Randy Johnson.
No.
Did you ever win MVP? I don't think you ever won MVP.
Are we giving up here? Are we out of guesses?
I don't know.
Don Newcomb.
Don't even know who that is.
Of the Dodgers.
1950s. Right.
Yeah.
Yee.
All right, I ain't gonna
never
know that one.
Yee! Who said that?
Well, we're gonna yee on to question number 9.
Good job. All
right.
Someone said yee.
In Disney's 1973 animated film Robin Hood, what type of animal was Robin?
Oh, Sean. Mia.
I think we'll go Mia, then Sean, then Oz.
Fox, right?
That is correct. Yay! Good job. All right, question number 10. Final one. What was the first animated film to be nominated for a Best Picture Oscar?
Oz. Up?
No.
Damn.
You went down fast.
First animated picture?
The first animated film to be nominated for a Best Picture.
Do we get a year?
Lyric.
Yeah. No.
Toy Story?
No.
Casey? Snow White?
No. Gerald, did you say your name?
Yeah. Lion King.
Lion King?
Yeah.
No. It is a Disney film, Sean.
I'm going to say Beauty and the Beast.
That is correct.
Oh, okay. Wow, I didn't know that.
Mm. Yes. Yeah. Knowledge.
The more you know. Oh, man. Well, we had a great time with you guys. Hopefully you guys had a great time with us. And website for the show is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page, find us at Your Weekly Dose. Twitter and Instagram is at yourweeklydose1.
Oh, I'm Oz Davis. I'm at OzDavis42 on Twitter. You can check me out on the SportsHistoryNetwork.com or OrvilleMulligan.com, my new sports drama.
My Instagram is Nia Caitlin Ketstever, and my studio's Instagram is Ketstever Studios. We're currently looking for a director of photography in Orange County or L.A.
My name is Casey N. Summers on Facebook and Instagram. I'm currently in jail.
Yay!
Again?
Yeah.
Again?
I'm so proud of her.
I didn't take any time at all.
I'm so proud.
I know. Most of the year.
Yeah, you just got out.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And they just go straight to a month every time now.
I love it.
And they ask me now. They're like, are you sure you want to post that? And then they'll ban me then.
And then you say yes.
Yeah. and then they don't post
it. So they're giving you the option.
And then they don't post it, and I still get banned.
Because they're asking you, yo, are you really want to post it?
Yeah, and I always do.
Because that means you're gonna get banned.
We're giving you the chance.
It's like back a cop off. Just saying, are you sure you want to drink this? And then they watch you drive off.
All right, guys. And don't forget, guys, also you can listen to us on Delmarva Talk Radio, 7 a.m. Wednesday through Friday mornings. All of our past shows are there. And also on Lime City Radio at noon from Wednesday through Thursdays. Once again, guys, if you enjoyed the show, don't forget to tell all your friends about us, because we can't grow without you. Help us spread the word about the show. Tell your friends, tell your relatives. Damn it, we just dare you to tell anybody. That's all. Until next week, have a good one and be good to each other. Take care, folks.
This week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.